For I've had enough of this world and its pleasures. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Father. I will arise and go forth to the house of my Yah. House of my Yah.
Shalom, and welcome to today's teaching on the Hebraic roots of Christianity, where we study first century Christianity and the faith that Jesus, whose Hebrew name is Yeshua, which means salvation, taught his disciples. And now, Hebraic roots teacher Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries International.
Shalom. I'm Eddie Chumney of Hebraic Heritage Ministries, and we welcome you to today's teaching on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. This is part 22 of the series.
So the way in which biblical Zion is going to be born is through a rejection by the governors of Judah, Zechariah chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, who do not accept and oppose that the mountains of Israel, the land of Israel and Jerusalem being divided. So they would declare an independent state in Judea and Samaria with Jerusalem as its capital. And so the way in which the Messiah is going to bring his people back from the nations of the world where he'd been scattered is by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, which is the glory of the Lord. And so Yeshua did bring his people out of Egypt, and he led them in the wilderness on their way to the promised land in the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. And so Yeshua will redeem his people from the nations of the world they've been scattered and bring them back to the land of Israel. And he's going to do this during the 3.5 years prior to when he sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives, commonly called the Great Tribulation. And the beginning of the journey is at the Passover that starts the Great Tribulation. And so he's going to be delivering his people from where they're at in the nations. And in Ezekiel, in chapter 20, his people being exiled into the nations of the world, the nations of the world is called the wilderness of the peoples. And Ezekiel chapter 20 and verses 34 and 35, it says, I will bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries where you've been scattered with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will plead with you face to face. Like I pleaded with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so will I plead with you. So where did he plead with them? In the wilderness. How? Through the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So he is going to do it like he did do it. So he's going to bring his people into the wilderness of the peoples. That's where they are scattered in exile. And from their places of exile, that he's going to speak to them through the leadership of 144,000 in the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. That the 144,000 in Revelation in chapter 7, they are the leaders of the different camps in the greater Exodus. And so there was only one cloud by day and pillar of fire by night when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. But in the greater Exodus, there's going to be multiple cloud by days and pillar of fires by night. And we can see this in Isaiah in chapter 4 and verse 5. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory there shall be a, and it says in Hebrew, a huppah. He will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and her assemblies, plural, every dwelling place assemblies. So the collective name of the assemblies in the dwelling places, the collective name is Mount Zion. And upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, there will be a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. And so there's multiple cloud by days and pillar of fires by night. And so once we have the governors of Judah rise up in the land of Israel, Israel, declaring an independent state, rejecting the nation's solution to the Arab-Israeli conflict, where the nations want to see the creation of a Palestinian state based upon 67 borders with East Jerusalem as its capital. The governors of Judah will rise up and they will declare an independent state, which the Bible calls Zion, and the capital of their independent state will be Jerusalem. And so then, from that sign, this, in Revelation 12, this event is associated with Passover, that from this birth, we see the enemy wanting to come against and to cause this not to come about. And so there is a war between Yeshua the Messiah and those who are with him and standing for the covenant that was made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the kingdom of darkness who want to oppose the will, plan, and purposes of the God of Israel. And this is mentioned in Zechariah in chapter 9 and verse 13, that the God of Israel is going to raise up the sons of Zion, those who believe in the covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, against the sons of Greece. And so then in Revelation chapter 7, when it speaks about the 144,000 in their ministry, it says in verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues." And so there ministry is a ministry that the people associated with the ministry you cannot number. And so a question is asked regarding these people in Revelation 7:13. Who are these who are arrayed in white robes, and where they come from? And the answer in verse 14 is, "Sir, you know they came out of great tribulation." So we see that the ministry of 144,000 is associated with the great tribulation, and these people who wash their robes and they have white robes. And in answering who they are, this is what's said about them in Revelation chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. "They will hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light upon them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them. He will lead them into living fountains of water." That this answer of who are these that came out of great tribulation, this is a quote from Isaiah in chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 9, where there it says that you may say the prisoners go forth. And then verse 10 is the quote from Revelation 7. Verse 9 is the introduction of who these people are. Isaiah 49, 9, these are the prisoners. This is Jacob in exile. And then verse 10, when he's told the prisoners, those in exile, are told to go forth, leave their exile. Verse 10, "They will not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that has mercy on them," who's defined in Revelation 7 as the Lamb, "will lead them, even by springs of water shall he guide them." And then it says in Revelation chapter 7 verse 17 that he will wipe away all tears from their eyes. The exile is likened to a time of mourning and to a time of tears. The end of the exile is likened to a time of song, singing, joy, and dance. And so we can see the association here of the 144,000, and they are leaders in the greater Exodus. They're leaders of the various camps, and each camp is being led by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. So the end of the exile of Jacob is a resolution of the conflict between Jacob and Esau. Where in Genesis 25, Esau sold his birthright to Jacob, Esau still wants the office and the things that come with it, but he doesn't want to use it to glorify the God of Israel. He doesn't want to use it to teach the following of his Torah. And so Esau is trying to claim from Jacob both the birthright and the kingship. The birthright is represented by Judea and Samaria, because it's in Judea, Samaria, where we have Joseph's tomb. And the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, they were given the birthright blessing in Genesis 48. And Jerusalem is represented by the kingship, and Judah was given the area of Jerusalem and their inheritance, and Yeshua the Messiah is from the tribe of Judah, and he's ultimately the king of Israel and the king of the universe. And so there is a mention of the role of the 144,000 in the biblical book of Obadiah. And Obadiah is only one chapter. And so if you look at the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, and then if we look at verse 21, 1, it says, saviors or deliverers shall come up on Mount Zion in their judging the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. The kingdom being the Lord's is the coming of the Messiah and him setting up his kingdom and teaching the Torah to all nations from Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. But what precedes the Messiah setting up his kingdom is saviors coming on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, because the beast and the beast system is represented by Esau's rebellion against the God of Israel and him seeking to get the birthright and the kingship from Jacob. We can see that the battle is with Esau if we look at Psalm in chapter 2. In Psalm chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. He will have them in derision. Then it says in verse 6, in response to what the kings of the earth are seeking to do, I've set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, you are my son. This day have I begotten you. And so who's opposing what the God of Israel is doing and setting his king on Mount Zion, that is the Messiah, is the kings of the earth. Well, this verse in Psalm 2 is quoted in Acts in chapter 4. So in Acts chapter 4 and verse 25, it says, who by the mouth of your servant David said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? For the kings of the earth stood up and rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah, against his Christ. And so who is the kings of the earth being defined here as? Verse 27, for of a truth against your holy child Yeshua, whom you have appointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate. Well, Herod was an Edomite of Esau. And Pontius Pilate is the governor of Rome. And Rome was founded by Edomites. And so Herod and Pontius Pilate, thus Rome, is associated with Esau. So the kings of the earth here in Acts chapter 4 is being defined as being Esau. And multiple times in the book of Revelation it says, and the kings of the earth, and the kings of the earth. Well, historically, Esau dwelt in Mount Seir, which was a place of cave dwellings. And actually, the book of Obadiah, which we just referred to, the book of Obadiah is written as a prophecy and a judgment against Esau in the end of days. It says, Obadiah chapter 1, verse 1, the vision of Obadiah, thus says the Lord concerning Edom, or Esau. And it's a prophecy regarding the end of days or the day of the Lord. It says in verse 15, for the day of the Lord is near upon the nations. And so then it says in Obadiah 1, verse 3, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you that dwell in the clefts or the caves of the rock. Well, in Revelation chapter 6 in verse 15, it says, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall upon us and hide us from the face of him that sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. So it's the kings of the earth that's hiding in the rocks and in the caves of the rocks. And in Obadiah, it's Esau that lives in caves. And so we have the prophecy in Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 21, that deliverers will arise upon Mount Zion and judge the Mount of Esau. In other words, the kings of the earth, the beast and the beast system that is seeking to run and rule and dominate the world, but they don't want to run the world under the authority of the God of Israel, nor his Torah. They're rebelling against the Messiah. They're rebelling against his Torah. And so given that the prophecy says that the deliverers will be on Mount Zion, we then look at Revelation in chapter 14. And in Revelation chapter 14, verse 1, it says, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. The lamb and the 144,000 are on Mount Zion. That's because the lamb and the 144,000 are the ones who's delivering Jacob from their exile, and in doing so, the kings of the earth are being judged at the same time. And so the lamb and the 144,000 are on Mount Zion, which is a poetic way of saying that they're standing for the God of Israel Israel and standing for the covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sing a new song. And so on Mount Zion, they're singing a song. The end of the exile is likened to a joy and singing and dancing of a wedding. And so this is how we more fully see not only the Messiah to gather and unite the 12 tribes of Israel in the form of the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, but those who he is working with, that is the 144,000, and they are leaders of the various camps of the greater Exodus. And so the greater Exodus is associated with the festival of tabernacles, the feast of Sukkot. In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 34, it says, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the feast of tabernacles for 7 days unto the Lord." Verse 42, "You shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths." Why? "That your generations may know," verse 43, "that I made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord their God." So part of the reason why you're to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles is to remember that when the God of Israel redeemed his people out of Egypt, he led them in the wilderness on their way to the promised land by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, and they dwelt in booths. And so this is a principle and a pattern for the last generation. As Paul communicated in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 and verse 11. Now the things that happened to them, that's the children of Israel, because he started out by saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 1 through 4, "Don't be ignorant that all of our fathers were under the cloud. They all passed the sea. They were all immersed into Moses in the cloud and the sea." Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. It's a principle. It's a pattern that we are to understand. So therefore, when the Messiah gathers and unites the 12 tribes of Israel from the nations of the world where they've been scattered, he's going to bring them back to the land, and they're going to be dwelling in groups, and they're going to be living in tents as he brings them back. So now what we're going to do, we're going to see how the ministry of the 144,000 is thematically related to Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles. And the first way we're going to see this, given that the Feast of Tabernacles and its celebration is linked to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, which is linked to the greater Exodus. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, "And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues." So this is thematically going to be associated with the Feast of Tabernacles, because the Feast of Tabernacles is called the Feast of All Nations. And how it came to be called the Feast of All Nations is because, now I'm going to share with you from the art scroll on the book to the Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot on page 47, it is explained that during temple times, in addition to the regular daily sacrifices, the wine libation and the water libation, the musaf, or the additional sacrifices, were offered each day of Sukkot. The total number of oxen offered throughout the festival came to 70, corresponding to the 70 nations who descended from Noah and who were the ancestors of all the nations of the world. And so, how do we get 70 bullocks that were offered? We got to go back to Numbers chapter 29. Numbers 29 verse 12 says, "And on the 15th day of the 7th month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work. You shall keep a feast unto the Lord 7 days. That's the Feast of Tabernacles. Verse 13, "You shall offer 13 young bullocks." Verse 17, 12 bullocks. Verse 20, 11 bullocks. Verse 23, 4 bullocks. Verse 26, 5 bullocks. Verse 29, 6 bullocks. Verse 32, 7 bullocks. So if we add 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, and 7, we come to 70. And 70 is associated with the number of the nations of the world that descended from Noah. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8, it says, "When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel." So the nations are according to the number of the children of Israel. What's that number? Well, it's understood to be the number of Jacob and his family when they went to Egypt. Exodus chapter 1, verse 5. "And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls." And so the number of Jacob and his family that went to Egypt was 70. And so this is the number of the nations of the world. Genesis chapter 10, verse 1. Now, these are the generations of the sons of Noah after the flood. And it ends in verse 32 by saying, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations in their nations, and by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. And so the Feast of Tabernacles is called the Feast of All Nations. This is why, once Yeshua sets his feet down on the Mount of Olives, as we see in Zechariah 14, he's going to require all nations to come to Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Zechariah 14, verse 16, it says, it will come to pass that everyone that's left of all the nations that came up against Jerusalem, those that are left from the judgment of the nations, shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whosoever will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. And so all nations are going to be required when Yeshua rules and reigns in his messianic kingdom to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And so therefore, the Feast of Tabernacles is called the Feast of All Nations. And what's associated with the ministry of the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, is seeing people of great multitude that no one could number of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues. Then it goes on to say at the end of verse 9, they had palms in their hands. Well, the waving of palms is associated with the Feast of Tabernacles from Leviticus chapter 23. In verse 34, where it says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, on the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. And then in verse 40, it says, you shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, the branches of palm trees, and you shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. So now we have two items associated with tabernacles in Revelation 7, verse 9. One, of all people, nations, people, and tongues. And second, they wave palms. And so the third association of the Feast of Tabernacles is Revelation chapter 7, verse 10. They cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God. And so this is going to be linked back to what was done in the temple in the first century. And this is also explained in the Art Scroll on the Feast of Tabernacles, or Sukkot. And it says the following. On the first 6 days of the Feast of Tabernacles, one hakafah, or circuit, is made around the altar. But on the 7th day of Sukkot, called Hoshana Rabbah, 7 circuits, or hakafot, are made. And the Mishnah in Sukkah 4:5 describes the encircling of the altar with arava, or willow branches, in the Holy Temple. How was the commandment of the willow performed? There was a place below Jerusalem called the Motza, or the Motza Valley. They descended there, gathered from their large willow branches, and came and stood them up against the sides of the altar with their tops drooping over the top of the altar. They blew on the trumpet sound tekiya, terua, and tikiya, sounds of the shofar. Each day they would circle the altar one time and say, Hosanna, save now, Hosanna, save now. And so loosely translated, Hosanna, save now, is salvation to our God. And so we have the third reference to the Feast of Tabernacles. So the ministry of the 144,000 is associated with the Feast of Tabernacles. And when the question was asked in Revelation 7, who are these that came out of great tribulation? The answer that is given is a quote from Isaiah 49:10. And Isaiah 49:10 is speaking of the exiles of Israel, that the Lamb and the 144,000 are on Mount Zion. And in Obadiah chapter 1, verse 21, saviors come upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. And as a result, the kingdom will be the Lord's. The Mount of Esau is the opposition to the rule and reign of the God of Israel and following his Torah in the earth. It's the rebellion of nations and the leaders of nations and the peoples within nations against the God of Israel and against his Torah.
Well, that's going to conclude part 22 of the series on the subject, The Principles of the Greater Exodus. Shalom in Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Thank you, Eddie. This is Stephen Morgan, and all of us here at Hebraic Heritage Ministries pray that you have enjoyed today's teaching. If you've been blessed, will you help us to share this message with others? Hebraic Heritage Ministries is supported by your generous financial gifts. In order to help you in your studies and to help us share this message with others, we are offering today the DVD, Yeshua the Lawgiver, for free for a love gift of any amount to the ministry. Hebraic Heritage Ministries also offers a monthly discipleship program. If you are interested in starting a fellowship group in your area, let us know. We would like to help you. Please contact us for more details. Our website is hebroots.org. That's HEBROOTS.ORG. We would like to hear from you. Please send us an email. Finally, in order to take advantage of today's free offer, please mention this product offer and please mail your love gift to Hebraic Heritage Ministries, P.O. Box 81, Strasburg, that's Strasburg, Ohio, 44680. Until next time, may Yeshua richly bless you.